When you haven't prepared 10 times over for a sermon, you have props. You're in so much trouble.
You were good extemporaneously.
You think so? Okay, I'm going to see what I can do then. Thanks for that. Okay, but I'm still going to ask you for help. Okay, I have a question for y'all. What makes you mad? Oh, no, we don't have that kind of time.
When people force me to do stuff that I don't want to do.
When people make you do stuff you don't want to do. We're not even going to touch that one, okay?
When I want to do one thing, but my parents say I have to do another.
Okay, are those the people you were talking about, the parents? Figured as much. Okay. Sorry, gang. When people stick microphones in my face and expect me to answer, do you get mad? What makes you mad?
People take stuff.
When people take stuff. I would be mad too. Got something? No?
Really?
No.
Being disrespected.
Okay. What makes you mad?
People being mean.
People being mean. Anybody else want to jump in?
Injustice.
Well, we could go on and on about that. But I don't know anything about it, so I'm going to let that go. Yes.
People being afraid of change.
People being afraid of change. What else? All right. Yeah. People not listening. All right. I got to go back to these campers. Let me ask you one more question. Is it okay to get angry? It is? What does anger look like? Show me. Are there any sound effects? Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Okay. Is it okay to get angry? What do you look like when you get angry? There it is. Are you okay? Grown-ups, is it okay to get angry? Is it okay to show it? No. See, the only honest person in the house, right here. Is it hard to show it? Do you feel bad when you show it? Okay. Well, we have a starting point, right? The song today was a perfect example of people who got angry and expressed it appropriately. Yes? Yes? And appropriately. But who defines appropriately? Right? What's that? The social. This is going to be way bigger than I expected it to be. So I want to read something to you. Two things real quickly. This is from Stand Up. And it's called Get Angry. How's that rage of yours? Have you pushed it into some jack-in-the-box waiting to be cranked out into exploding? Some days it feels like that, doesn't it? Some days I could just smash half the world and walk away happy. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
But anger has a habit of turning on itself, especially if you try to push it down or run away from it. Yes? Yes. And this is from a sermon by Reverend Molly Hausch Gordon, who is a minister of UU Church in Columbia, Missouri. And she offers this. Hate is a bodyguard for grief. When people lose the hate, they are forced to deal with the pain beneath. And the corollary, which I always have a problem saying, is also true. And when we don't deal with our pain and anger and fear, they harden into hate. They deepen into despair, and they freeze into cynical isolation. When we hear the greatest commandment, that you shall love your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole self, and your neighbor as yourself, we kind of take a deep breath and go, yeah, that's right, that's right, yeah, that's right. And then we hear later, which is always a puzzle to me, you need to love your enemies. can we go back to the first commandment? Because that I can handle. The loving your enemies piece, not so much. And then what seems to make it worse in this particular reading, does anybody else come away with a bad taste in their mouth after hearing this? What is it that kind of leaves that? What is it? Right. I don't want to do that. And Jesus is telling me that I have to do that? Okay, can we go back to the part where you just told me to love God and my friends and neighbors? Does anybody else have a bad taste coming off of that reading? Deborah? Ah. It's been used to keep women specifically in abusive relationships, right? Somebody slaps you across the face, take another one and pray for them. Anybody else? Ian? Yes. How come I have to take the higher ground here? Anybody else? Are there some enemies that are easier to love than others? Can you give me an example? I'm red. Yeah. But you know what? You always have to bow to good material. I'll get you in the alley later. Anyway, well done. I'll pray for you. That was so good. Are there some? Yes. Okay.
I mean, there's varying degrees of
enemies. Okay, so let's start there. How do you define an enemy? Everybody but Carol. How do you define how do you define an enemy? How is an enemy defined? Yes.
Someone who harms you.
Okay. That's really important. And that's different from someone who harms someone else and you just don't like what they're doing, right? But someone that harms you directly? Okay, good. Anybody else? Yes. Oh, wow. Someone that you think has harmed you because they've hurt your ego.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's good. Yes. Someone that harms you with an intent. Okay, so there has to be a negative or an evil intention behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So there has to be evil. There has to be an intent to harm. So, if someone hates the sinner, hates the sin but loves the sinner, they're not an enemy. Because they didn't intend to hurt me. Yeah, I'm just playing with you. Yeah. Bullies are enemies, right? Because they hurt your feelings and you're afraid of them. And they take away your sense of safety and security. Okay, what else you got? Those who hurt the innocent. We're okay if they hurt the bullies.
Sure.
You're hanging out with her, aren't you? Yeah. Anybody else? What about the people on Facebook? Where's Carol? That you have no contact with, and they're saying hideous things that you disagree with for a variety of reasons. They're kind of easy enemies, aren't they? But are they really enemies?
No.
They're not direct enemies. They're not really hurting you. They might be ticking you off, right? I bet it's easier to love them, actually, isn't it? You have that nice digital distance between you. And you can find it in your heart, right, to still be in some sort of relationship with them because they're somewhere else, maybe? No. Not at all. Unfriend.
Wow.
When we hear that we are supposed to take that higher ground, that we're supposed to walk the extra mile, or when they ask for a coat, you give them your something else too, and we hear that, and it almost sounds like we're being called to martyrdom, right? Does anybody else get that? That's the icky flavor that I get in my mouth. Like, why do I have to do that? Why do I have to take the higher ground? Why do I have to take more abuse? Because it almost sounds like you're being asked to take more abuse. See, during this time when you were asked to walk a mile, it was not uncommon that if you were someone whom the empire was oppressing, you could be asked to walk a mile by a citizen of Rome and carry their stuff for them. But they couldn't ask you to go any further. They could acquire your services for a mile with no pay, and you would have to comply. But that's it. And when they asked for your shirt, they're allowed to do that too, but they can't ask for more than that, okay? And when you were slapped, it could only happen one time, and it couldn't happen again. So here are things put in place to regulate the amount of abuse that one could receive. Isn't that weird? And what Jesus seems to be implying is take more abuse. Yes? Oh, civil disobedience. What? What do you mean by that?
I couldn't come up with that word this morning to save myself. Now it just appeared.
Boo.
Well, because when they go the extra mile, when they give a shirt in addition to a coat, that's disobeying the law, and they're being civil disobedience.
Oh, so it's a form of civil disobedience to go above and beyond what the law demands. In fact, even what the law allows. I like it. Anybody else? Yes?
My thought was, just because, supposed to be turned the other cheek doesn't mean we don't get to express ourselves as well.
So you get to say
what, you think about
what you're thinking. So we're back to expressing the anger, right? Can you show me what anger looks like again? Okay, good. Thanks. So you're allowed to do that, right? Which in itself might be a form of civil disobedience if someone's trying to power over you at the time. Right? Taking the higher road. So it's not a case for martyrdom, is it? Yes?
It changed the system. If you give them your shirt as well, you're naked. If you're a peasant, you're naked. And that changed the system.
Shames the system and not you. Ooh. Well done. So it shames the system. Sometimes when we hear a reading like this, when we hear a call out that says, love your enemies, we misinterpret that to mean that we are supposed to put aside all of our feelings around the wrong that's being done. And sometimes we hear love your enemies means that we're not allowed to have feelings towards the enemy, that we're supposed to change our feelings about the enemy, that somehow we're supposed to swallow our pride and everything else, wish them the best, and walk away. That's not useful. Quite the contrary. You're supposed to have your feelings about an injustice, about an abuse, about something that harms you or another. You're supposed to have your feelings. Nowhere in this reading does Jesus say, smile while you do it. Right? Nowhere in this reading does it say, do not then go and stand up for the injustice. It just says, change how you respond to the injustice. Phil. Oh, and maybe set an example. Maybe break down the doors that are closed to you and go in singing your heart out saying, you are not going to keep me from this party. Gosh darn it. I would say it a little differently. I am invited. I have the right to be here, and I'm going to come in singing, and you will know by my voice and by my actions that I am angry, but I am not going to take that and bring you down to the place that you wish me to be. That I will hold you accountable, that I will have my feelings towards whatever is defining you as my enemy, but I will not respond in a like manner. Quite frankly, I will respond in such a way that demands transformation. When these misfits break down the door, has everybody seen this? Gotta see it. When these misfits break down the door to this party, they don't beat anybody up. They don't call the folks who are there watching names. They do not respond in like kind by pushing them out. They basically say, no, you're going to notice me. I am going to stay strong where I am. I am not going to turn around to become the oppressor that you have been towards me. And quite the opposite. Not only am I going to stand up to you, I am then going to go forward and I am going to flourish. And in that way, I am loving you. Because I am not treating you in the same way that you treated me. That's profoundly different than martyrdom. That's profoundly different than swallowing abuse and keep on taking it or putting up with it. It is saying, no, I so love my God with my whole heart, my whole body, and my whole soul, and my neighbor, and myself, that I will not respond to you in the way that you have responded to me. But instead, I will greet you with determination, with self-assurance, with confidence, with my anger, but also my love. It's not easy, but it is possible. Especially if we are grounded in recognizing that we are not broken, but rather we begin from the place of being grounded in the fact that we are loved to begin with. That whole adage of we are our own worst enemy, get rid of it. Start here. Know you are loved. Claim this is me. And then go love your enemy. Amen.